Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone who came to join us in a time of worship, worshiping and praising our Lord. Especially I want to thank and welcome our brothers from the rescue mission. It is so nice that you are here. And I pray that we as a congregation will continue to pray in your journey as you walk in this journey with Christ. I also want to thank and welcome all the people who came back from their vacations, but there is someone who I really want to acknowledge today. Betty Jo Morrell had came today to join us in worship, and she is battling her disease, but she is so strong in her soul. I thank you that you're here, and praise the Lord for your ongoing battle with your health. I also want to welcome all our visitors who are here for the first time, and I would like to welcome everyone who is joining us in worship through our recorded sermon. Let us have a time to pray and listen and prepare our hearts as we listen to the word of God. Let us all pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. It is your day, and we are here to praise your name and worship. Be with us as we listen to your word. Open our hearts and our minds so we will be able to listen to your will in our lives and make a decision. Be with me as I share your story. And may the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart become worthy in front of you. May your words increase and may I be. We ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we live in this life, I do have to say we encounter a lot of decisions. And it is very important of how and what kind of decisions that we make. And to be honest, I also make a lot of decisions, but I am not sure how well or how wise my decisions are. So it is one of the things that I truly embrace as a joy to serve this congregation and many congregations in the pastoral ministry, that I'm able to go to our matured members and seek and reap from their wisdom. I believe it also says in the Bible that the gray hair is an honor and is actually a crown of wisdom. And I enjoy the time where we go there because our matured members have so much experience and knowledge and the maturity and wisdom as we make these decisions. So that it is great that we are surrounded by these people in this church, and I hope that we will continue to grow in the wisdom together. And then when we talk about a matured man giving advices to young people, I always remember this story. It's kind of a joke. But there's this man who had been happily married for 66 years. And he was always boasting about how he had continued and making this marriage and this relationship in a long and happy one. So whenever he met young people, he would go around and he would share the secret of his marriage. And this was his secret. He would say that the man will always make the major decisions, and all the small decisions will be made by the wife. Oh, and some people are laughing because is that really possible? How can you live 66 years and happily with that kind of mentality? But that man would say, oh yeah, that works. Because in 66 years, still this time, and still up to this point, I never made a major decision. We learn every day. We are joyful that we have the cloud of witness who have that wisdom to surround us. And we learn from our mistakes, and we also learn from our experience. And we are faced in many decisions. Some decisions are the ones that we need to make the right one in front of God's word. So, it is really a hard and difficult thing what to know what God's will is. But there is also a courage that is involved in making a right decision. But looking back, I have to say, it is so sad that time to time I do not make all the right decisions. But here is the gospel and here is the good news. Even in the bad decisions, God's grace is always upon us. And God will lead us to make that right decision. But it is more of a heart that we are willing to follow God's will. But still, regardless of that, I am maturing. And I think the wiser I become, the wiser I try to make that decision right. In this, we have to continue and look back into the story of Joshua. Joshua is the one who has been strong and courageous in front of God because he knew that God's Spirit was with him. And because of the Spirit of God, Joshua was able to become strong and courageous in front of the people of Israelites, fulfilling the promise of God, leading them to the promised land. And we're actually preaching, I've been preaching on this book for the past 8 weeks. It has been 2 months since I came to this church. And to be honest, I never had a sermon series that was quite long like this. Normally, my sermon series would be a 3 to 4 week sermon series, because I know by the time of the 3 to 4 week, I also get bored about that same stuff. But there was something different from this book, because in the past 8 weeks, I believe that this subject and this person, this character of Joshua, had gave us a tremendous wisdom and also guidance of God's word. A guidance to our church and guidance as well as to me. And I'm thankful for all the people who have been faithfully following the Bible reading, because in the past 8 weeks, I congratulate you and I commend you because you had finished the book of Joshua together as a congregation. We didn't plan it this way. The way we were going on, we actually started as a 3-week series and it turned out to be an 8-week series. And if you remember, ending this Friday, we will have been reading all the 24 chapters of Joshua. So I pray and I hope that this has blessed you in the same way that it blessed me. Going back to the Bible study and going back to the book of Joshua, we started to see him as a young person. And now he is in his wise, matured era, where he is sharing the final words with the people of God. And we see this from chapter 23 and chapter 24. He actually brings the people of Israel in two times. First, he gathers the leaders of all the Israelites. He gathers the leaders of the tribes. He gathers the judges. He gathers the scribes. And he tells, as a final word, of what they need to do. He tells them that you should love your God and continue to meditate on his words day and night. Humble yourself in front of the sovereign God. That's what Joshua asked him to do. And this is what happens at the final stage of his life. When Lord has given rest to the Israel and all the enemies around them, they had finally conquered the promised land, and they are in peace. And Joshua was old and well advanced in his years, and now he is about to go back to the Lord. In chapter 24, where we had read, he had now summoned all the Israelites for the second time to give his final wisdom. It starts off with a very uncommon way of speaking. Joshua says, this is what the Lord says to the people of Israel. And starting from verse 2 to verse 13, he talks in a first-person conversation. I. What Joshua was doing, he was talking on behalf of God and reminding the people of what God had done. And after he finished up with the I conversation, he transits and he says, and then I will choose to follow the Lord. Let me go a little bit in depth of what I was talking about. Joshua in verse chapter 24, and as he is addressing the people Israelites, he says to them and he reminds them of the story of what God has done to the nation. And he actually talks, like I said, in an I conversation, and a first person conversation, saying that God had delivered. There's a couple words that it is very often used in this word. First, it says, I have brought you out of the ancestors. He's talking about God, how God had brought Abraham out of his family because his family was in a place and in an area where they had to worship other gods. God first uses this word, I brought you out. I took your father out from that atmosphere. As if God was delivering them from the evil, delivering them from the wicked way, delivering them to follow this journey in only following God. He uses this word, I took you out. And then the second time he uses this word, brought out, he uses it when he delivers the people from the Egyptians' oppression. The Israelites were under the captivity of Egypt for 400 years. And God uses the same word again. I brought you out of Egypt. And as we all know, that is Exodus. He uses the same word again. I brought you out from the Amorites, because these were the people who were in the wilderness. And when the Israelites entered into the wilderness, there was a certain thing of God, the work of God that was needed to deliver them from the Egypt. And God also brought them out across the Jordan River. And God actually uses this word, I drove out all the people who were there to make sure that you will settle in this promised land. And it continues on of how God, through Joshua, wants to remind the people of his love and his everlasting. I want to ask you this. What reminds you of God's love? Is there anything that reminds you? Do you remember how much God loved you and delivered you out and brought you out of the past situations? Past situation doesn't have to be something worldly. It is more of a spiritual aspect where our soul was not in the presence of God. We did not know the way of God. We did not know the way of the gospel. We did not know that Jesus Christ's love was sufficient to cover up all our sins. And once we commit ourselves and when we acknowledge ourselves and once we lay down our lives to the everlasting love, God delivers us from that sin of death. And my question is, do you remember? God wants us to constantly remember God's love. We remember it through retelling the story. Remember it through symbols that we have. We remember it through events, how God had intervened in our lives. And it is important that we remind ourselves of that love. I hope that I'll get time to talk about my son a little bit more, but my second son, Peter, had a difficulty during my wife's pregnancy. All the doctors at the month of 6 months, 3 out of 4 that we had met all said that we should terminate the pregnancy. To make the long story short, we believe that God had his mighty hand upon him. But what happened is he had some water trapped in his belly. We saw how God had pulled that out, and also he doesn't have any water and fluid in his body anymore. But what happened is his rib is pointing out like this because there was a fluid trapped in his belly so much. God had healed him. He's so healthy right now. But after a while, I started to get a little bit more greedy. You know, God, if you healed him, you have to make sure that this rib goes back in. So I was keep on praying, Lord, get the rib going, get the rib going. I literally prayed for that. And while I was praying, this is what God's wisdom came down to. God had reminded me that this is a reminder and a symbol of God. Because as you know, And as you see Peter, he's a very energetic and a very healthy guy, a very healthy boy. And if we didn't have that rib pointing out, I can surely say I might not remember how God has worked in me. This has become a constant reminder. As if Jacob was wrestling the angel, and he wrestled all night, and the angel had to hit his hip bone because Jacob was so fervent in his request. And for the rest of his life, what happens? The angel says, you should not be called Jacob from now, not this point on. And from this point on, your name is Israel. And for the rest of his life, what happens? He had a limp. It was a reminder of Jacob's life that God had loved him and God had truly blessed him to become called Israel. As I remember that story, now I know that this is the blessing. Even though his ribs might be pointing out a little bit, that was a symbol of the touching hand of God in his life. And whenever we see that rib, we continue to retell the story of God's life. In order for you to make a decision in front of God, you need to remember, we need to remember how God had worked in our life. I hope that there is a symbol. I hope that there is a particular event. And I hope that there is a sign that you can continue to hold on and retell and see how that love grows in your life. Joshua had to start with that. He had to remind the people of how God has been working. Then he boldly says, choose this day whether or not you will follow God or you will follow the ways of the world. The reason why Joshua had said follow the ways of the world is because they are in a new territory. They are near to the people who do not know God, who do not know the ways of God. And in that, he needed to remind them that they need to make a certain decision to follow God, or unless they will be influenced by the people who do not live in the ways of our Lord. And isn't that the same thing? Whenever we live in this world, there are so many people who choose not to follow God. And because of that, even though we have the decision to follow God, we have the love to follow God, we so easily become influenced by the people who did not make that decision yet. And Joshua at this time says, choose. But let me ask you a question. If God had asked you to choose your ways, would it be easy to choose? A lot of times, God is calling us, and you know that God is calling you to become a disciple and follow God. But there is a reason. There is some kind of fear in us that we cannot easily choose that path. Because it seems like we need to give away something. It seems like we need to sell all the things that we have. We have to give up all the things that we possess. We have to give up all the things that we love. And it seems like a big sacrifice. And it actually is highlighted in one of the stories that we hear from Jesus. When Jesus was meeting a young man, a rich man, he comes and says, and he asks Jesus, teacher, how can I live for eternal life? And this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, go and sell all your riches and come and follow me. I wish that story had turned out in a way that the rich man had sold everything and come and followed Christ. But apparently, it went the other way around. The rich young man couldn't sell all the things that he had, and he went away with a saddened heart. And I think that story builds the fear whenever we're trying to make a decision. Because it feels like we need to give up everything we have. This is what I think about that story. It is the heart that God is asking, not the rich. And God really wanted the heart of that young man to follow God and choose to live as God's disciple and Christ's disciple. But it was the heart that he was examining, not the riches. And so many times, we think that it is the riches that we need to give up, and instead of thinking that it is the heart that we need to offer. And because of not offering our heart, not being able to offer our heart, what happens is, whenever we are asked to choose to live in the way of the disciple, we always cringe, and we always doubt, and it's hard for us to make that final decision. But just to make it a little bit much more easier for you, we decide and we choose to be God's children, not because it was our will, but it was because God had chosen us. Whenever we talk about the choice, we need to remember that the choice is it has double meanings. First, it is a choice that we had made that kind of decision, but at the same time, it is a choice because God had gave us that choice as a gift to us. God called us first. God called us first to become God's people, and that is the reason why you're here. Not because I chose and I made the decision, but because the Spirit had already worked in your life for you to come and sit here and to make the decision of dedicating our lives to God. So it is both a gift and it is both a choice. The reason why I say it's not difficult is because if you see how God had loved you first, it is easy to give your heart to God. And once you give your heart to God, everything will follow. God says that you cannot serve two gods, two lords. You can't serve money and you can't serve the world by serving me. What God is asking is asking your heart. And once we love God first, and once we place our heart in front of God first, it is the choice that we make. And that choice is a response to the love of God. And it is a choice that we see as a responsibility to live this world as a gift. But as a gift, this choice is a reaction of gratitude. Responding to God's love. So Joshua ends his final words with saying, "For me and my house, we will love the world, we will serve the Lord." It is a choice and a decision that is also a gift. And Joshua had chose to make that gift, chose to make that decision, because he loved his God. The God who had promised that he will always be with him. The God who promised the Spirit will be upon him so he will become strong and courageous. The God who had delivered him and brought him out of all the difficulties of conquering the promised land. And because Joshua was so sure about that love, it was much more easier for him to choose him and his family to serve the Lord with all of it. And today, we are asking you to make that in your life. Not because you have a symbol. Not because you have a debt. But because you responded to become a follower of Jesus. Once we make that decision, we believe that God's love will overflow
And remember that it is the heart that God wants. It is not the riches. It is your heart and your soul that God wants. Not all the world. And my question is, will you choose to live as a disciple? A disciple that loves God. A disciple that loves others. And a disciple that serves the world. Sometimes it is hard to make a decision only by our own means and our own will. The decision we make should be out of our dedication and our love for God. I've been in youth ministry for a long time, and a lot of our young people struggle because of that temptation of watching porn. You'll be amazed of how many people are exposed to that in their early ages. And I experienced groups that always said, let's not do it, let's not do it. Let's abstain ourselves from that. Let's make a decision not to do it. And I have to say, a lot of them failed. Because it is not that decision that keeps us away from that temptation. It is actually the love of God that keeps us away from temptation. So when we are asked to make that decision and make that choice, that is the one thing that we need to ask ourselves. Do we truly love God enough to give our whole heart to Him? And once we answer that question well, I believe that everything will follow through. I believe that the temptation that was creeping onto us will wither away because it does not have any more power over. It is the love that overpowers the temptation and the greed of the world. So when I'm asking you, and when we are all asked this question, do you love me? May us respond to God saying, yes, we love you, Lord. And as we love you, let us faithfully follow your ways as a disciple of this world. May that love overflow in your life so we as a congregation can make that decision of living as a disciple of Christ in this world. Let us have a time to pray. Lord, it is quite a difficult journey as we live this life to faithfully follow. So many people in the world do not see this decision as a valid decision. So therefore, they turn away from it. And it is like the 10 spies who went into the promised land and said, it is impossible for us to live in this world as a disciple. But may you grant us your love and a love to follow you more, like Joshua and Caleb has done. Regardless of how many people say and turn around from you, turn away from you, may us and help us to follow your ways. Even if 10 out of 12 say no, let our congregation say yes because of the love that you poured out in our hearts and our lives, and because of the love that we respond to follow you. We ask that we will become a congregation that loves you more, that we will become a congregation and a group of disciples who can respond to your question, do you love me? let us respond with a joyful cheer, saying, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And yes, we do. Help us in this time. And help us to commit ourselves only to you. As we hear from the words of the wisdom of old Joshua, we thank you. And we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ.